Before he was the Hugh Jackman clone.
No, before he was Jesus.
I thought he was Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman is Jesus in
The Sunday Skypers. Burning Beards.
All right, okay, we have Slate's beliefs pretty much as they are. Something about dealing with other dwarves for the prince, okay? I think we'll probably have to work on recovering stuff. I think I may have shortchanged Fandral last time, because while the humans are still a force in Skoria, I'm not sure I would call them in control. So, yeah, I may be inclined to like remove a fate from Fandral, give him a persona instead, and say you have ended, let's say, absolute control.
All right.
It's not like Lord Rom will come back and seize it again. Oh, don't laugh like that. That's scary. So he does it some more. Yeah, thank you.
Well, it's all in the nebulous, maybe. Possibly.
I was just thinking of Rom the Headless Axeman. Just going off on that tangent.
So time to dig for shields and secrets.
Sure. Of course, in the back of my head, the one scene that's been sticking is the horrified look on his face when the lady would not touch the axe. It's like, man, we really need to fix these humans. They're messed up.
Certainly different.
Well, maybe that's why they're so dainty, even when they're freakishly tall.
I don't know. Is there an immediate desire for like Ulfkill to wake up on the overhang and have interactions, or could we like move the timeline ahead a little?
I mean, at this point, I was almost expect just to wake up in the back of a wagon someplace, with Roar next to me. You know, it's like I look over him, going, nah.
That might have happened in retrospect or something. I won't touch that. So we could conceivably move some of the other dwarves into Skoria and have more stuff happen there, since that's what your beliefs dictate pretty much, or at least have some of you move in as
I think we need to send a runner for sure.
Yeah, as per the orders of Fandral. I'm thinking like we could take this and describe it in passing, like this happened, that happened, and now we're here. Maybe Fandral sent runners.
That reminds me, did Ty ever make it back to the camp?
When did we send Ty? Right before we entered Skoria proper, right?
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I'm sure he did, right? And then I guess he would have found Roar and Ulfkill engaged in uproarious drunking with the foreign dwarves. And would probably have been too timid to, or unsuccessful in delivering the message right away. So, but that's true. He would have at least joined up, and probably from there you would have. Would you have gotten out of that stupor? Right, you might have mobilized or something.
Yeah, I guess at some point we'd go and look for the other side of the Doom Gates or wherever we were looking at bringing in the. The big
Yeah, probably Roar would send a few in by the secret door, if possible. Yeah, it wouldn't be possible to take all your wains and animals through that door.
No, we'd have to go to the Doom Gates.
Yes. I guess Ulfkill could have conceivably arrived before the main expedition if he were so inclined. Mm. Then you could deliberate about what to do about breweries and shields and such.
No, actually, I would considering that he wants to break the news to his apprentices that he's going to be the kinder, gentler Ulfkill, which will probably take most of the day.
Well, he did, right?
That's right.
You did last time, the time before last time.
I can't remember. Did I do it to the apprentices in general, or did I just do it to the four?
You did it to the others, but I mean, we could.
He actually rather come in together, you know, solidarity with the entire troops.
So yeah, in that case, Fandral is forewarned, and the human gate guards are ready for dwarf trade number one. in like half a day, there's been no reply from the Brekkia dwarves, though Bregor came, well, went to them and then came back saying they had agreed to sending an emissary. But no, there's been no reply after that. And the humans are engaged in the preparatory funereal rites for Lord Rom. I mean, it seems to be like this complicated walking in circles and preparing the body. And of course, he's a lord. So, and they're, yeah, like a former religious leader or something. It's like this.
Stitching the head back on. Yeah, all kinds of details.
Yeah, it's like this whole Old Norse, except less beer, probably a week and a half's worth of stuff.
Ending with a large funeral pyre.
Yes, yes. In fact, I'm going to get to that. But first, I think maybe we could have a scene somewhere where you're all together and you can consider like all the stuff that you want to do, if that's cool. Because I know Slate wants to grab back a piece of the family history, right? In the,
yep.
The old hole.
Yes, I do. For my sister and our family. And obviously greed and pride and that sort of thing, too. Because he's still not sure exactly what his family did, because we never actually went over that. But
well, you're too young to actually necessarily know, I think.
Maybe it's unspeakable.
Maybe it is. I'm thinking my sister is also too young to know since we're twins. We don't know what our parents did. We just know that they did something in Skoria.
Well, you know you're noble, right?
Cause yeah, we do know we're noble because we have the rings.
But you didn't, like, your family didn't make it as nobles in Marl. You had to pretty much get down and dirty and earn your keep.
Well, we never decided what Jade actually did. Is she like a barmaid or something? Maybe
she's, you know, useless individual with whom you had to float.
Okay, yeah, I like that idea.
You said something like you wanted to get that place back more for her, I think.
More for her than myself, because I like being encouraging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's probably, like, really spoiled. And
well, she's my twin, dwarven. Obviously. Obviously, she's spoiled.
She's a dwarven princess.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, no. I cannot see her marrying Fandral. Uh-uh.
Well,
oh, Fandral's already bespoken for.
Good.
Well, hey, when you're the prince of a new city, you can introduce a new law like polygamy.
Yes.
He's dedicated to Freya, and if he wasn't, she would do bad things to him.
All right, we'll have to challenge that belief.
You've already challenged that belief.
Well, it's not actually a belief, so it's just been me being an asshole. But I can be an asshole some more.
I haven't challenged it lately.
Well, maybe one of my things is that I get her married off to someone rich.
That could be one of your beliefs, yes. You could totally be, you know, the marriage broker if you want to be, if that sounds like
I'm going to marry my sister to somebody rich so I don't have to take care of her.
That's a beautiful belief. It's horrible, but great.
It's a terrible belief. What are you talking about?
Well, that's the point. Right?
Yes. It's wonderful.
Imagine all the drama. Yeah.
It's like, no, I don't care if you love this guy. You're going to marry him, so I don't have to deal with you anymore.
Is this your daughter and your sister I got married?
It better not be.
Oh, come on, you promised the other clan that, you know, they'll get the honor and glory of marrying an old Skoria family, and then she, like, murders the groom on the wedding night, and you stand there left there with the body and all the blood and stuff.
I know of a regolith farmer who's looking for a bride.
Oh, yeah. Well, he thinks he has his stuff made, right?
Oh, dear. We would go from being, you know, Burning Beards to Game of Beards.
Well, duh. As soon as we introduced the Dragon Throne, that was a fact.
Oh, no. Burning Beards, now with marriage and murder.
I think we had plenty of murder before. And marriage.
No. Murder and marriage. Like, on the same night. I think Jade's pretty nice on the eyes, though, so I don't think there's going to be much trouble finding someone for her.
Her shoulders are about good 3 feet wide, and her hips, those are good birthing hips.
So she's easy on the eyes, hard on the wallet.
Very hard on the wallet.
All right, enough of this loafing about, guys. We got stuff to do here. Flint, we need to find where these northern dwarves went. This is troubling.
Okay, so let's say you're where would you have like a deliberation with like Ulfkell and Flint and possibly Slate?
It's probably the old conference room. No, I won't call them conference rooms, but
you mean the throne room?
Throne room is for ceremony where you do business someplace else.
War room.
Yeah, the war room. They'll see the big board.
So that means you'd have to go back and clean up the old clan hold.
Yes.
That's
or
it.
Hall, you know.
There we go. Yeah, the clan hall. Yeah.
What's the clan hall right now? Say this is like almost a day later from last session where we had the back and forth with the lady and we established Fandral as a more or less de facto, you know, in charge of Scoria. And since about a day since Ulfkell woke up and was like,
"Oh, put a boot in my mouth." Ugh.
So in that day, you found and situated yourselves in Fandral's clan home, old clan home or hall. So what's the hall like now? Is it full of dwarves hustling and bustling, carrying stuff in?
Taking whatever weird human serpent religion stuff they had in there and getting that out.
All right.
You think a birdman lord can make a good fire?
Far away. I don't want the smell coming here.
Actually,
we're talking probably like braziers and small pyres. There are no like iconography or figurines or anything like that. So it's more like, and these people like fire. Like they put a fire everywhere. God damn it, ash everywhere.
So there's a lot of sweeping. Fortunately, the conference table in the big meeting hall was stone, so they couldn't have burned it.
Yeah. Splayed out over the table is probably like all the maps you have of Scoria. Sigibert is probably there with the chronicles. Any other like second in command ish individual might be there too that you want to name.
Probably not right now.
All right.
So have we got at least some word where the humans encountered the northern dwarves?
As Bregor told you, they had a small military force escorting like a messenger, and he met them a short distance outside of the, well, I guess it would be the counter doom gates, like the gates that face north. You know, he delivered his message and they told him, grateful, send someone, and then they buggered off north and he returned with the news. That's all you know about their like stuff besides what Roar and Ulfkell might have told you about Hingrid and Thod.
We probably need to do some scouting out that way.
Yay!
All right, if that's a priority, you would rather do that before you go, you know, mucking about more in Scoria. That's cool.
I think knowing what they're up to since they've disappeared, that I find that disturbing a little bit.
All right. Would you like to delegate this to your capable scouts and axe bearers, or is it something you absolutely want to do yourself? Or yourselves, I should say.
What do you think, Flint? Do you want some backup, or?
I think these are friendly dwarves, so we don't need a huge armed company of axe bearers, and you need to keep your men handy while you wait for the lady's response. So you need to be in a position of strength. I would feel terrible taking away your axe bearers at this time.
Sounds reasonable.
Of course it is.
I know I'm butting in a lot, but if Flint is like, let's go scout these other dwarves, then let's put that in your beliefs.
Will do.
Let's see. Well, going down my list of beliefs here, have we gotten anything from the humans about all the treasures?
All right. You have been given a list, which seems like it's probably a little incomplete in places where they've recorded from the records given them by the dwarves all treasures of significance that they can recall that have been shipped off to Marl. You don't see any notion of like, not even in description do you see the notion of a hammer, any kind of artifact hammer, and you don't see anything that resembles the description of the Gotterdam shield.
Ah, I was going to ask about that.
there's a lot of other stuff, family armors, coffers, crafts, stuff like that. Okay, one instance of a small like brewing tun But clearly it didn't go to Old Kills Brewery.
I think it's time to send a note back to Freya to let her know that we've arrived at Skoria and are in the process of sorting out what's happening here. We'll send a copy of the list and say what Dooney had been up to. And so she should have people go looking, since he's in some deep, dark hole somewhere where we threw him. Should go through his stuff first and see if there's any of it there.
Here's a fun question. If you were to send a courier back, would you send them through the tunnels, past the goblins and trolls and vengeful ghosts, or would you send them overland? Because apparently there must be a surface entrance somewhere here in Skoria.
But that would be more dangerous.
Well, you might have to deal with pesky elves and greedy humans, but those are known threats. Well, I guess so, vengeful ghosts and goblins and trolls, but I'm just saying that there's a level of risk with each path.
Yes, we've dealt with a lot of the threats on the path on the underway, so a smaller, quick-moving company, they can avoid any other troubles.
I am concerned that that sounds like scouts.
Well, you know, one or two of your scouts, we write up everything they need to deliver twice. So if any, either one of them, well, you know, doesn't make it, at least the information gets there.
Where's Ty? He's quick and elusive.
I could never find him when I was looking for him for help.
Yes, I don't know if Ty is best on his own.
Well, you could pair him up with somebody.
Slade is backing away from the table right now.
not me.
Yeah, maybe that would work. Send Ty and maybe one of the more dependable and cautious scouts.
Yeah, that one of yours, Coom. He might be a good one.
Oh, he's pretty quiet though. I mean, like we haven't heard from him the whole session.
Sounds like a good candidate.
Yes.
Yeah. Or your buddy Frimmy.
He's probably going to find the northern doors.
Yeah.
If only Skolia wasn't down for count.
Oh, how is our patients doing, Doc?
Sleeping.
Well, that's a lot better than issuing death threats.
He's moved on to the next level of acceptance. Sleep. The dwarven five steps of acceptance. Death threats, sleep, more death threats.
Beer.
Yes.
More beer. Gold. More gold.
So I suppose then we'll do some more exploring of Skoria to see what the state is. So if Kel can find the breweries.
Is there anything that like Slate wants to bring up about relocating his family hall or hold?
Yeah, actually, he was just going to bring to the table that I need some place to put my sister. And I think he is going to broach it like that, too. I need some place to house my sister.
Has she been in the expedition the whole time?
I don't know. Has she, Will?
No, you wouldn't. You
okay,
couldn't.
No.
You couldn't
She's
get her to
Marvel.
Go on an expedition in a million years.
Yeah, no, I didn't think so. So, she's
dirt.
Back in Marl.
Not an immediate pressing issue, then.
Well, I would like to secure some place for me and her to live.
Maybe the old family place?
My old ancestral place has got to be around here somewhere.
Do you know which area of Skoria that was? We'll head that way, and maybe if it's in the direction of the breweries and the old Goddardam place, we'll try to figure out the best search pattern.
Since they were nobles, would they have lived closer to the throne room than anything else?
Well, ish. I imagine there's a tiny ring, almost like a quote-unquote forbidden city, which is essentially the prince family's hold within the hold. You know, which is where you're taking up residence now. But it would be closer to the throne room and that princely hall stuff than the breweries, for instance.
Well,
but so,
I can
so
see a noble family wanting to, quote, carve out their own estate. Mm-hmm. So
that's what I was thinking, too. But where would that be? That's my question.
Oh, it depends what their business was.
That's true, too. But I could see them more towards the edge where they have freedom to expand.
Yeah, I mean, if they're in the trade, yeah, they definitely would be near the edge. They may even have their own exit onto the underway.
Oh, yeah, they might even run a way station, as an example.
Here's like a general question, and this maybe this is a better like question for a Holdwise test. So actually, let's do that. Does anyone have Holdwise? Like you could make maybe figure out or dictate where they would be?
I actually have a B3 in it.
Well, I've got cartography, so I can help.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Maps might be more useful than my Holdwise, which is based on Moria than Scoria.
So Holdwise with some help from cartography?
I think that works just fine. Mm-hmm. Plus, if we can get any helping memories and clues from Slate.
Well, I mean, Slate Slate grew up in Marl. He just knows that his family is from Scoria originally.
Yeah, but at some point the family has to have said something.
Mom and Dad.
Like,
yeah, mom and dad
have, you know, like maybe they love the natural caves, that kind of thing. Or
they may have specific design, you know. For all we know, they may have actually had skylights.
Or maybe the family was really big into octagons.
I don't know if you'd have as much of an edge that you would get an advantage die.
I'm just trying.
Yeah. No, it's worth it.
Then again, yeah, this is like they could all have been fairy tales and silliness spewed into her ear.
I mean, yeah, and then, you know, you have memory that might be a little so-and-so, and maybe one or both of them wasn't keen on speaking too much of all they've lost.
I know some real-life families like that.
Yeah.
Selectively edit their history.
Hopefully you do know what the family crest looked like.
Oh, I have a signet ring, so yes.
That right there, if anything, it's in my pack.
I'm not wearing it. But.
Did we settle on a name for it? Did you like Good Hearth?
I did like Good Hearth, but I was hoping somebody else would have suggestions.
Actually, I like Good Heart, H-A-R-T. And then you go with the whole deer and antler motif, implying that
you know
maybe.
What? I like that, yeah. And that
in turn implies that your dwarven family business may actually have been like surface stuff, like hunting and the like, things that have to be brought into the community. So you get your riches by what you harvest and bring into the city.
That's not a good idea.
Running with the tangent.
Maybe I got my start cartooning because my grandmother used to bring herbs in or something.
Exactly. Yeah, not everything grows underground, contrary to dwarven belief.
herbs and also the occasional sheep and goat. You had to learn the anatomy somewhere.
Yeah, I did.
So if you have not described your ring yet, I can so totally imagine it being like part of a deer skull and the antlers are what curve around to make the band.
Oh, I like that.
I think this amount of information is worth like an advantage die.
Woohoo! Mission accomplished.
I'll just get out my signet ring and show it around the table and
ooh.
Call it that. All right.
And now I'm going to throw in clan-wise.
Oh, right. You can fork that. Yes. Actually, screw the advantage die. You're forking in clan-wise. Clan history. Yeah.
Clan history. Oh, I haven't seen that sign in a long time.
Okay, so what's the explicit intent here? Do you want to find out just how to get to Slate's old family hold or hall? Or do you want to, like, figure out a good way to get at all of the above, like how to most expediently reach the Goddam place, the Good Heart place, and then the breweries?
We're going to just focus on Good Heart at the moment, since that's the information that I have under my nose.
Okay.
And I have already a strong feeling where their clan would reside and their location, because it would be on the path leading to the surface.
I'm just curious, though, because Fandral mentioned wanting to correlate stuff, and you are helping with cartography, so it kind of makes sense to at least figure out where things are in relation to each other.
Yeah. Sure, if we can get a good lay of the land here, get all these various bits and pieces assembled, and get kind of a mental layout of Scoria going on, it would certainly help us navigate, because right now it's kind of murky.
All right, so let's make this like an OB3. If you succeed, all you've stated is true, right? It's a surface adjacent hold, kind of almost on its own. They have their own exits. They have their own like little trade tunnels. It's fairly close to like the Goddam hold. If you don't succeed, then things are going to be a little less true.
Fair enough. For my base die roll, is that going to be clan history, or is that just
Hold wise.
That's three dice.
Okay.
Then clan history, advantage die,
cartography. No advantage die, just clan history. Just clan. Ah,
okay, so I'm looking at five dice.
Are you counting like Fandral's help?
Yes, cartography.
Okay, that makes five. Okay.
Yes. So I'm looking at five dice, obstacle three, and I would gladly throw some persona at this and sit there and rack my brain and draw other people in. This is kind of the role that I really want to happen, so I'm going to throw three persona at it.
Oh, wow, okay.
Well, so, I have 13,
record those persona for hold-wise, yes.
This is an important role for Flint. The pieces are falling into place. We're up to eight dice. We might be able to overkill this a little bit. See, one, two, three, four, five successes. Yes.
All right. Oh, yeah, everything's true that you've established here. And you have an expedient route mapped out.
It's simple. All you have to do is cut across to the Hall of Heroes, up here through the Avenue of Victory.
Self-important much?
Does that also mean that we have a good idea of, okay, Cotterdam, wow, I remember them living over here in this eastern part, and then this brewery was right over here?
Yes.
I imagine there's like the deep side and the surface side, because, you know, dwarves think a little more three-dimensional
sure.
than humans do. Most of our homes and houses are more towards the upper surface side because, you know, Goodhart, of course, had direct access to the surface. And Goddardam, not quite sure what their family business was. I think
power.
I think that may have been it. They were into people and glory and services. And that's probably one reason why I ended up being a message bearer. They weren't crafters as much as molder of people, of soldiers and, you know, axe bearers. And that was their specialty, was more, not quite political, and not quite service either, but somewhere in the mix of that.
You remember that letter you found, right?
I'm drawing blank on the details, but it did imply Gunnar was a mover and a shaker and a manipulator. That's why I'm leaning that way, as opposed to saying, oh, we were smiths or brewers or anything like that.
In that case, I think it makes sense that you would pass the Goddam Hold on the way to the Goodhart place.
And similarly with the breweries need a lot of supplies. They need a lot of water. They probably need some ventilation. So again, they would be more on the surface side than the deep side of Scoria.
I see some mountaineers passing a steaming vent, like, whoa, smells like a distillery.
Okay, we're swinging here where we think the Goddardam is, and then we, you know, move on to the Goodhart and Brewery stuff that are farther out.
Okay. Right. Let's
not forget to craft those letters for Ty and Colm.
That's already been done.
I imagine Sigebert has been like taking clip notes while you've been talking, and he's already drafting the based on the syntax of Fandral.
Bail.
So who's doing what?
Well, if we're going to be going past the breweries, I'm going to gather up the brewer. You know, I say the brewers, that's Bear and Rory, and bring along my chief apprentice, Aethelbald.
I think part of the reason he's so pissed at you is you can never remember his name.
Well, it's better than calling him Ethel.
That's where I was going to go to next. Might have to make that an instinct.
Can I call you Ethel?
No, never gets his name right.
Oh.
No. I already have one character who has that problem. I don't need another character.
So, yeah, okay. So we know definitely that Ulfkill wants to bring, like, his brewer crew, his core closest brewers. Is Fandral going? Is Flint going?
Fandral wants to go out and survey his domain. So, yeah.
All right. Flint could delegate the scouting of the other dwarves for now. And then once he has a bead on the Goddardam Hold and all that, he can join them.
That actually makes sense, because getting that out of his head means he could actually focus more on the other tasks at hand.
All right.
I won't say he's obsessed, but maybe he is. So I did make a promise to Grandpa. So.
Cool. On your way out, you run into a small retinue of Lady Villari and some of her servants. She begs Fandral's attention for a moment.
All right, of course.
As you are aware, we are preparing the funeral pyre for Lord Rom. However, we are low on certain supplies, specifically wood, and I thought it would perhaps be prudent not to keep burning your various heirlooms.
Yes.
So I noticed that your expedition is richly laden with all matter of supplies, and I am sure that if your fellows would help in the construction of the pyre and the funeral beer, and by beer she doesn't mean the drink, but this would go a long way to help secure a steady level, mutual respect kind of relationship between us.
We can do that. Is it part of your religion that the fire must be from the wood? Some of our craftsmen could help with some of the gas lines to feed the fire.
Don't forget, so the black rock that burns.
I think she has like a look of not quite understanding what you mean. And then she says, if this is some dwarven form of ignition, we take no exception to that. However, ideally, we would use a sacred wood, but we must take what we have. And we will hope that Rom will not look down upon us. For that, at least we can make the necessary carvings and so forth in the beer.
With the gas, we might be able to get the heat and intensity you would like without as much wood.
If this is something that your clever craftsman could accomplish, then we welcome it. However, we must have at least a wooden beer.
We can help you there.
Wonderful. Perhaps you would be willing to appoint a funeral representative to help
not
us in this manner.
Not Ufkil. Not Ufkil. Not Ufkil.
No, not Ufkil.
What? But you have a man. Here I'm trying to work in all your skills, right?
Ufkil would have him up. Would probably have him on a spit, turning around so he cooks better.
Well, yeah, you'd have to communicate with the humans to like understand what they want.
So you're not cannibals?
he'll probably turn to Sigebert.
Yes.
Yeah, Sigebert would be your point of contact.
But sir, I don't know anything about artifice or carpentry. What would I do?
You would go to who we got here, who's other than Ufkil.
I imagine the quarterback.
I think Sigebert is like nodding side-headed at Ufkil, eyes going like, him?
I would imagine the quartermaster has some of those skills too. Wait a second, I am the quartermaster.
You'll be the point of contact for the humans, and you will make sure that things get relayed to Ufkil and whoever else he delegates amongst the craftsmen.
Yes, a brewer has to know carpentry, so all the apprentices are, at the very least, apprentice carpenters. So, yeah, we can build a
little funerary beer ton.
No. Carpentry means we know how to build things like, you know, beds and stuff like that. We can build a proper, you know, thing for them.
And we would have had some people with more than just brewing talents in the craftsmen.
Yes.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You know, those iron bands around the barrels, you know, those aren't snapped together. You know, you need someone else to work the metals.
That's why I also am a black metal artificer.
This is an opportunity at least for Ufkil to like author a belief about overseeing like maybe something that would work in some of his skills that he hasn't used. But if it's not interesting, then, you know, you can totally delegate it and it will get done.
Well, the person I delegated to would be my head apprentice, but I want him along. So
you could totally delegate it to some other dwarves in the expedition, some camp followers or something, and you won't have to deal with it. You can focus entirely on like the brewery stuff if that's what you prefer.
Yeah, because Ufkil would rather deal, you know, find the breweries and see what state they're in, and kick out any humans that are living there and using the mash tuns as hot tubs,
assuming they bathe.
All right. Well, in that case, like Sigebert will, you know, grumble a little because, you know, he doesn't like the idea of like leaving Fandral unsupervised by you know, someone who knows his needs.
I can at least delegate some of my apprentices. They do have carpentry skills, so they can help. They can at least assist whoever they put in charge of building the beer.
Oh yeah, cool.
It's got to be at least 7 foot long. Who would be so freakishly tall? Oh yeah, that's right.
He's a little shorter now.
So yeah, Sigurd, you know, approaches her and bows and makes the necessary etiquette stuff, and they trundle off together.
That's why it's him, not some of the other.
Dodge that bullet. It wouldn't be a bullet. Dodge that catapult.
It could be a sling bullet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I presume Ulkel fetches his core brewers. Do you bring, like, anyone else on your little journey to
Olds? No. The rest of them, they're going to be either mining the wagon train or doing the project. Find some apprentice brewer and say, "You're in charge. Remember, we're the happy new family now, but if you screw up..." Now you'll do okay. Just keep the humans from their wagons, all right? Don't trust those humans.
The prince is affecting you.
No, I wouldn't trust them anyway. They make bad beer.
All right. Oh, and you wouldn't trust these guys, I guess, because you haven't smelled beer or seen beer or anything anywhere nearby them.
Do I have a list of apprentices that aren't dead? Rudy and Murtaugh. There we go.
Yes.
Rudy, I'll put on the carpentry detail, and Murtaugh will be in charge of watching the wagon train and keeping, you know, making sure it stays safe.
Cool. Okay, so while they take care of their duties, you go to yours with Ethelbald and Rory and Bear.
Bear.
Right. Let's say we cut to approaching the nearest hold, which is probably the Gotterdam hold, by way of like some old, disused, but still pretty like gloriously carved tunnels. What are some of the like cool details that preface or like, what's the proper word, like prefigure? Pre-appear.
I was joking about the Hall of Heroes, but damn it, I think it would be cool if one of the long corridors just had Gotterdam after Gotterdam after Gotterdam and all kinds of different professions, but basically every time you walk into the hold, our ancestry looks down on you.
Ah, okay.
Except for the first, I say, first 100 feet. Those are empty niches. They planned ahead.
Fair enough.
You're already looking at niche number 200 and said, yeah, that's where I'm going to be.
I might have to add egomaniacal as an instinct.
Interesting. Do you want to see if you can figure out who some of these people are?
Sure. Yes, yeah, some of them may be creatures of legend. One never knows. But I imagine they're more like homespun heroes, more than earth-shattering, dwarven, culture-changing heroes.
The ones I want to know are the two by the end of the hallway, because they're the oldest of the group. They're the ones going to be of legend.
Their plaques are completely, like, eroded. But you could probably guess or...
Plaques? Or plaques? Statues? They have to be statues.
I'm kind of imagining the whole Han Solo carbonite thing, where it's half statue, half relief carved into the walls.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's kind of like
the runes are like faded. You don't know anymore, like with any certainty, who this is, right?
And it's a very ancient dialect, of course.
Oh yeah.
I mean, so that doesn't make it any bit easier. But it's obviously this is the founder of the Gotterdam clan line, I think.
Only the goat stealer?
What are you talking about?
So yeah, I mean, do you want to figure out who these people are, or is it like, whoa, hey, cool, whoa, and then you pass by?
We'll make a quick and dirty clan history roll, and we'll just kind of live and die by the results of that without putting a lot of work into it.
Any help from anyone?
I'm clueless.
No?
Well, if the prince is there, yeah, he's got a head for ancient tongues.
Well, you're assuming that the prince is interested.
This is true. And that might not be a helping die, but a hindrance die.
Well, I wish there were rules like that, but...
It says, oh, yeah, it says it was started by a clan of vagrants.
Hey, don't forget, the Slate can help you. Slate's got Dwarven rune script and obscure text-wise.
Ooh.
Yeah, I do.
Slate, what do you make of this? What I do not know that thing.
Though, could I make a separate test to see if I could figure out anything, and I can decide whether or not I want to divulge it.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, since I established that you can't read any of the inscriptions anymore, so it's more based on the symbology in the figure itself. Let's have Flint make his like test first. If it doesn't succeed, then let's have Fandral make a test. And like privately go, oh, okay, well, I know people are, but because Vandal has ancient history, I think that totally fits.
Yeah.
How cheaty. Okay, so what's my obstacle for discerning something from these old reliefs?
Ooh, let's see, clan history. It's appropriate. Since you have the appropriate skill, it would be an obstacle four to figure out like who
holy
this
cat
person is.
Well, you know what? I'm stupid with persona because I haven't had a chance to do any rolls in the past few sessions. So let's burn a couple on that. So that will get us up to seven dice.
Okay,
that
means before you roll, though, let's determine if anyone at all is helping in any way that they can. I mean, there's nothing really to figure out from texts or runes. But if someone else has some other skill they could conceivably work in, maybe that would be interesting.
I can see Slate. Slate is such a nice person that if you ask, he will gladly lend
Slate.
Us.
Slate, you have a belief, right, about proving yourself to
I do.
Bring your huge brain over here.
You don't really have a great skill for helping, but I could conceive of you helping with etiquette, thinking like there would be a certain way you would present people in statues.
Also, wouldn't his skill of chronology of the kings help a little bit?
Yeah. Well, it's very simple. If the first one is holding a planeteer of dwarven might, that might be an indicator.
Well, I guess it could be used at least to maybe determine that at least that this isn't one of the kings,
the king.
Right?
Yeah.
It depends on what you want. I mean, either way, you're just going to give one die. So it's either like, oh, this is someone I recognize from the Chronicles, or this is a type of dwarf that would only be represented this way because they were one of the original Dvergar blah de blahs or something. You can help with either. It depends on where you want the test, Ari. Do you want it for chronology of kings or etiquette?
What's going to help more? Let's see.
They help equally an equal amount. So it's more about which one you want to advance first.
Actually, I'd like to advance Chronology of Kings first.
You can record a challenging test for Chronology of Kings.
The dice love me today.
Do they?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 successes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let's do this kind of half and half.
Is it really only the goat stealer?
I don't think it would have been only the gold stealer, though. I do enjoy the facetious sort of, I think this is our great and glorious ancestor. What?
A great and glorious ancestor who?
Yeah, indeed. Like, what? Let's say, first and foremost, is this someone who is in the Chronology of Kings or not?
I think, God, you're really going to leave that up to me.
If Todd wants to weigh in, I'm not going to stop him, but it would mainly be on Slate.
I think yes. I think it is.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So who is this once king or prince of something or somewhere?
I think it is Bahr is his name. B-A-H-R.
I like that.
Bahr.
Bahr
okay.
The – he was known as Bahr the – Mad.
The wand? No. Not. Okay.
Maybe that's one of his names, right? And what's his other name there, Flint?
Bahr the Wanderer. He brought in a tribe of surface dwarves to settle in Scoria. So he and his family were part of the original dwarves. He was, quote, like a king of his tribe, but not necessarily a king of Scoria, if that makes sense.
Makes sense.
People is his power, so to speak.
It goes back way back to one of the royal like personages of the Dvergar age.
What's the other relief on the other side?
I would imagine it would be his wife.
Would
Makes
you?
Sense. Yeah, totally.
I mean, I'm trying to leave up room there for Fandral to find out something equally interesting.
Well, that would only really have applied if you were you guys failed. Then you like, well, maybe it's so and so, and or wow, this is inconclusive. And then Fandle could have been, yeah, I'm not going to tell you. So yeah, while they're mooning over,
settled than Scoria before it was deep.
Okay, so Fandle, while they're like mooning over statues, what's the goddamn hall gate like? Like, what's a prominent feature?
The heraldry of the goddamn would be up to Todd to make up.
I think it's better when other people define it.
Well,
I think Dirk was just saying, help.
No, I can put something on there. Since you're saying they came from the surface, well, a tree. We'll put a tree on there.
All right. Cool. Okay, so is it like a big like tree that's split in the middle when you open the great doors, or?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right. You know, it's this great, imposing, impressive, even in decay and not ruination precisely, but even in abandonment, right, with dust and stuff.
I want it to be a barren tree.
Okay.
Like maybe there was a great drought or famine, or maybe they burned trees for giggles and the elves didn't like that. We don't know yet. There may be a reason why he's mad, but I just seems like that those barren branches would be a lot more stylized and stand out than a nice big bushy tree that looks like.
I so love that symbology, considering the various elfin perspectives that Flint might be like a spawn of former kings, and now the branches are all leafless. Like, they amounted to nothing. Almost nothing. We don't have to get into, like, no kings anyway.
It just reeks of symbology.
Yes, absolutely. There are, like, some really old remnants of foot traffic and so forth. Like in the little courtyard before the big whooping gates, there are like half of an old rotted wheel, some like gewgaws that someone probably dropped, a few coins, stuff like that. But the doors are closed.
I don't imagine that they're barred on the other side, so we'll just give them a good heave.
It opens up into this darkened initial like hall with like this long fire pit in the middle and broad spaces for setting up shop and waiting. You can smell just the musty old, not stale, but you know, still air. You know, the doors, when they come open and go against their rests, there's that metallic echo that sort of echoes hollowly throughout what seems to be like an endless series of chambers and rooms. I mean, you can hear the echo like boom, go on forever. It's almost like this mystical, magical, ghostly atmosphere.
Oh, you say ghostly.
That was just ghost. A phrase.
This is incredibly terrible, evil, nasty of me, and I apologize. But my lovely wife has dropped the Mother's Day lunch hammer on me.
Ooh. Well, we can say this. Fadl could maybe, I mean, it's a big place, so Fadl could be like, well, okay, Flint, you're here. I'm going to move on to see what's up with the rest of the holes in the breweries, and I'll come back. It's going to take forever to look through this like giant hall. So Flint can go in there and, you know, we can move on if you want.
If you guys don't mind, I know it's a terrible, shitty thing to do at the last second. A really interesting spot in the story.
All right. I guess, okay, we leave Flint and maybe a helper, because you never know what's there. But, you know, it's obvious that to look for anything here is going to take a long time, and you have much more to do. So, let's move on to, I guess, the Good Heart Hold and the breweries. Right. Next stop, Good Heart Hold. I guess I'll just continue with the general vibe of like going, okay, so what's like a prominent feature of the Good Heart place? It's surface adjacent, so are there any like, how is it built? Is it built like over a stream that goes down into the mountain, or is it built?
Ooh, that sounds pretty.
Is it built like half in the mountain, half out of the mountain?
I think it's built over a river stream thing that goes down.
Mountain stream, yeah.
Mountain stream, yes, that thing.
An underground mountain stream?
Well, it goes underground from the top, I guess, from up the mountain, runs down the
mountain. Maybe it's built adjacent to it.
Adjacent, okay. Maybe it's this like big cavern, and one side is just this big crazy waterfall, and you have a view of it and the whole like river going down into the mountain from the hold proper.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, cool.
Of course, first thing when the Ufkill sees that, he goes over and pulls out his mug and gets a mug full and takes a sip and said, "Ooh, come over here, taste this. Oh, this is perfect water for making beer in. Brewery's gonna be around here someplace."
Well, and if we can get that paddle wheel working, then we'll have some power.
I have not an artificer, my liege, but, you know, we can give it a try.
No electricity, goddammit. No,
I wasn't saying electrical power.
No. Entirely torque power.
Oh, okay. Mill power. Yeah, I see what you mean. Considering it's right there, maybe there's actually a small brewery as part of a hold.
If anything, it'd be a mill. Because you got a mill grain. If you really want to be really dwarvy, and maybe it is also it hooks up to a forge with trip hammers.
Well, the only dwarf with hold wise vanished, so I guess we'll just go on with this is interesting. And but yeah, I think you approach it and you realize like someone barred this in a solid way, probably as a last sort of greed precaution to make sure nobody got in and got anyone's stuff. I'm thinking like you can see the sort of mill wheel from the outside, but the walls are pretty tall.
Well, Slate, you want us to bust in?
Pull out my hammer.
That'd be fine by me.
Go on, I'm Lord. Ruin my family hold.
No.
I can't think of any. I don't know how to get in, so.
You could beginner's luck hold-wise. Is anyone learning it?
I am.
So am I.
Yeah, well, in that case, it's a perception test, and anyone can help with perception. If you want to figure out some way to like get at the hold that doesn't require kicking down the gate.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that.
Like, do you want me to supply an explanation, or would you like to like describe that they had a secret entrance, or there's a well shaft that you could conceivably climb up, or
we can get up to that balcony that's overlooking the river.
Yeah, there is a balcony.
All right.
I forgot what I roll for a test again.
If you're using, if you're the only one testing, then it's your perception, and I think the obstacle for finding a good, solid, secondary, viable entrance would be 3, because it's beginner's luck, it doubles to 6. But it would count as a routine test and toward opening hold-wise, so that's another tick for you.
You want help?
Yes, I would like help, because I have B6, so on perception.
Then that would count toward opening hold-wise for on Fandral's sheet as well.
Poke around and look and see what I can find.
Okay. I guess that's 4 dice total of help in that case.
So 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 dice. Oh boy, not a single success.
That's not true. You have 1, 2, 3.
You're halfway there. Sadly. Okay, now Ufkel will look at the gates and say, maybe not break them down, but maybe we can pop them off their hinges.
And no hinges are visible. Sorry.
Oh, no. You don't have to see the hinges to pop them off the hinges. You just need leverage.
If you feel like you want to use some other skill to get in, that's totally cool.
He's built many a door, so he probably might be able to use my carpentry to give me an idea how to pop the hinges off from the outside.
Keep that suggestion in mind. I'm going to give you like the result of a failed roll. You mentioned like a balcony maybe that was lower down toward the river stuff. Okay, I think you actually spend some time and rope to get at it. You climb up. Who's climbing, by the way? Like, is it just Slate, or...
I'm learning how to climb.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have climbing yet.
Well, I'm not going to test you here. It's not like it's a super tense, like, oh, climb or die, you know, situation.
In that case, it's probably somebody who's with us. Unferth or something.
Oh, okay. All right. So Slate and Unferth go climbing up. Anyone else?
I'll watch it from down here.
All right. You make your way up. You go down the like little balcony steps that go into a kind of an enclosed battlement of a sort. Just as you like move inside, boom, Unferth steps on a plate of some kind, like one of the tiles. You can hear this of like metal chain links being pulled over something in rapid succession. And out of nowhere, like an iron barred gate rises up out of the floor, like bars your exit. So you're now trapped inside this indoor sort of battlement, so to speak. It's like a corridor inside the wall, on the top of the wall. And he's like, well, damn it all. I'm sorry, Slate. I didn't see it.
I'm not listening to him. I'm too busy trying to figure out how to get out of here.
Do you have Ben?
What is there to see at the moment? What is there to see at the moment other than the fact that we are trapped in here?
To right and left, you see the corridors going in each direction down the walls. There are little embrasures for firing arbalests at invaders, I guess, facing outward, and larger windows barred that look upon the hold inside. Mm-hmm. And there also appear to be like hollows where you can guess that they lead to stairs. There's also
covered.
Yeah, I mean, you're not there. If you venture into the corridor, maybe you'll find what they are and where they lead. But for now, that's what you see. Also, of course, you can see through the iron bars out onto the balcony and you know, down. And if you're not doing it, Unfirth is like walking up to the bars and shouting down to the rest, like, "Ah, oh, we're stuck. No, we're trapped."
Oh.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, but...
Everything is under control. Don't worry.
Yeah, kind of. Like, wait, we're fine. Shut up. We're fine.
It's just a reactor leak.
We're fine. How are you?
Suppose we got to go help him up.
We could try climbing up there ourselves, Liege, but I don't know what we can do. Or we can try breaking through that door and getting in and helping him that way.
Well, we don't know what the problem is, right?
What's the problem?
Slay's just gonna... He wants to describe it as good as possible, so...
Like snacks, huh?
The whole defenses are still operational.
Yeah, actually, no. That's exactly what he's gonna say. It seems my family didn't leave unprotected.
Oh, that puts a different twist on that one, sir.
Anybody injured?
Nobody's hurt. We're just trapped. There are iron bars in the way.
So you can't go inside the hole from there?
I don't think so.
We haven't checked, says Unfirth. There could be further traps.
Well, don't spring them then.
Wasn't planning on it.
So far, it hasn't worked out.
Ofgal, you think you can do something about bars? It's metal. You know about metal.
I know a little bit about black metal.
You're the spider breaker of Marl. You can bend them.
No. I have my hammer. Tripolis, do I have my toolkit with me?
Of course you do. You were going to a brewery.
Yeah.
I have my hammer. I probably also have chisels and so forth and maybe a pry bar because you never know.
Up you go then.
Right, sir. I look over at Rory and Baron to say, keep an eye down here. Athelbald, you're with me.
Hold the rope there, Rory.
I was having trouble understanding where exactly we are. Are we like in a giant box?
Picture like one side of the wall is facing like the river. Up a ways, there's this balcony, kind of an overlook that is more accessible than the top of the wall. Okay. So, like, you threw a rope up and caught one of the corner bits to the stone banister and climbed up. And so you're on this, or we're on this overlooked balcony, and that which opens up into this battlement, which is kind of this walk that's on top of a wall. But in this case, in your hold's case, it's roofed, and it's essentially like a corridor on top of the wall.
It's properly called a parapet.
Terminology aside, it's like a corridor on top of the wall. There are barred windows in it that look down upon the small barred windows that look down upon the hold inside the wall, and there are like tiny vertical slits for like shooting at people through the walls, you know, toward where you came from. What you and Unfirth did was you walked into the tunnel, right, to have a look, and then he stepped on some pressure plate or something, and then, you know, this barred gate rose up out of the wall and barred your exit. So you can no longer walk back out onto the balcony. You're trapped in the corridor.
Okay, we are essentially trapped on the parapet. Okay, gotcha. I was thinking something completely different because of how I was envisioning it.
Well, you know, when you don't have maps and so forth, that's bound to happen.
We're still trying to figure out why they have a trap that locks you in instead of locks you out.
We want to come gather you.
Yeah, probably.
I do have extortion. There's maybe a reason for that.
It's the family trade, except for, you know, milling and... Okay, so did you guys, the rest of you, have a plan for, like, a secondary entry? You were sending someone up, right? You were sending...
Yeah. Me and Ethelbald are going to climb up there, and then basically I'm going to use what I know about black metal and so forth to try to see if I can maybe force them back down, because you said they came up, or maybe, you know, pull out the old hammer and start hammering away at the floor and see if I get the mechanism.
Well, the climb is not anything...
special.
While you're, you know, climbing and you're sort of helping Æthelbald up because he's not a great climber, you know, he keeps like slipping with his feet and he's like, ah, damn it.
I'm not a great climber either. I'm still learning to climb too.
Okay, so your face is, your foot is probably in his face half the time and he's just grumbling, just thinking about his own brewery that he's going to get eventually. While that's happening.
Yeah, when we finally get to the top, we roll over the edge instead of properly climb, you know, and go, ay, jeez.
While you're making your way up, Slate, you can hear this clanking to one side, let's say to the left in one of the corridors. It sounds like ponderous metallic footsteps.
A suit of armor probably walking towards us.
It doesn't sound like a person, though. It sounds, it's much too clank, clank, clank.
Mechanical.
There's just like a staggered element to the steps.
First question, the Slate, is the water wheel busy turning now?
I think the water wheel is horribly out of repair and it's only occasionally turning.
But I'm more interested in finding out what's making that clanking noise. So, and possibly running the heck away from it.
Where are you going to run?
That's a good question. Can I look around the corner without it seeing me?
Well, you haven't seen anything yet. You can see into, you know, both corridors to right and left. You can't see anything coming yet, but it's sort of, it's echoing down the corridor toward you.
Okay, what does my companion have to say about this?
He seems to be preoccupied with trying to, you know, force the gate down by hand.
I'm going to get his attention.
What?
Listen. Clank. Clank.
Are they pounding on the gate? Well, what's going on?
No, that's from the other side.
I think Unfrith takes his axe out of its loop. He sort of goes to peer into sort of the left-hand corridor. He's sort of peering into the dimness. And I don't see anything.
He's going to look to...
Okay, so Unfrith is going to rush back to the bars. And I think like Ulfkill is just now making his way over the top of the banister. Unfrith is like, hurry, hurry, quick. There's something in here with us.
What?
I don't know. It's clanking.
It's clanking. Okay.
I have a question. Did I hear about the haunted brewery?
I think everyone heard about the haunted brewery. Whether or not you put any real stock in it was probably up to each individual dwarf.
Oh, I think he did, and I think he thinks this is a ghost.
You heard about it because Ulfkill was there sitting with Froar, or Kime. Ulfkill was there. He would bet your ear on what he thought about, you know, not just ghosts, but demonic possession, which is better.
He's now going to panickedly attempt to help them with the gate.
Okay. I'm going to have to give it a quick look over. So I ask him, which way did the bars come? Did the bars go into the door frame or are they just touching the door frame? It's a big difference.
It seems to be a framed set of bars. They're in like a rut, both to the sides and up into the ceiling.
Is this a curved arch doorway? Or
No. This is like a square, as square as it gets, like a rectangular, in fact.
How fast did it come up? Could you have gotten through it before?
What does it matter, says Unfrith. Just get the damn gate open. I'm sure you can bend it or something.
It's on a counterbalance. I'm trying to figure out how much weight's holding it up there.
Says Æthelbald, sort of climbing up from his lurch over the banister.
Right, I reached down.
But he ended up in a heap anyway and like, Dive ropes. So while you're like ahead and looking at the gates and asking questions, he's sort of just getting up.
Well, if it's framed, that means I can put my pry bar up between it and the door frame and see if I can push it down.
It's in a rut, both to right and left in the frame and up into it. So
then I use the tip of my pry bar as a chisel and chisel a hole through till I get to it.
Awesome.
And then try prying it down.
What do you have in terms of stone stuff?
I have no stone skills whatsoever. Well, I have carpentry and I have black metal. That's about it.
This seems like an excellent opportunity to open up stone artifice, right?
Okay.
Skilled at cutting and dressing stone.
I mean, it's just like working with wood and a chisel, right?
They behave entirely differently, but that's fine.
In principle, it works the same. It's the leverage. Stone Fisher, what's that?
That is wheel slash power. So either one, you can use either wheel or power for it.
I'll go with wheel because that's the better of the two.
I'm going to say it's an op two.
So I got beat a four. I'm sorry. I'm not going to spend any persona because I only have two.
But this is going to take a few minutes, and it's going to take both you and Unfurth hammering.
I sort of gauge how deep the rut is, put the end of the pry bar up, so I'm using it as a chisel just to cut a single hole through so I can get between it and the wall so I can start prying downwards and pry it down.
Okay. Still going to take a while. Dwarven stone. There's a working quickly rule, right, that you may want to be aware of. Okay, so successes over the obstacle allocated to working quickly reduce the overall time by 10% each.
Okay, so you say it's going to take like a minute or so to get through it.
It's going to take 4 minutes to do what you want to do.
4 minutes.
How fast is that ghost moving?
Am I getting a helping die from?
Totally. Crystal ball is helping with positioning of the chisel and the hammering as needed.
And Unthrift is helping from the other side, then, right?
Oh, if you give him tools, he'll do what he can.
I hand him a wood chisel. Oh, I have to get a new chisel after this. He should have his own hammer, but it'll be the wrong kind of hammer, but it still works.
Could conceivably use the back of his axe, but it's not as good as an actual hammer. It's not. It doesn't have the same weight.
So that's going to give me a total of 8d6. That's 1, 2, 3. I'm going to spend a fate point and pop that 6. Unfortunately, I only got three successes. Yeah, that's damn good stone.
It's going to take longer. You're going to get through. It's going to take 15 minutes to get through it.
Okay.
Yeah. But you are like hammering. Unfurth on the other side is like hammering, so he's all sweaty in moments.
I'm holding my pry bar in place. It's a poor chisel, but then I'm holding it in place so that Ethelbar can hit it. And you hear swears every so often up there as Ethelbald misses air occasionally.
Yes.
A great test for Ethelbald on whether he intentionally misses. And
no, my head is nowhere near that.
Can't be more than the arm length away.
Well, that is power, I suppose. But yeah, no. This is a routine test then for opening stone artifice.
The dwarf that learns things.
Yes. The dwarf that learns. Well, who learns? I guess since you're a person. Okay, so they're hammering away. Meanwhile, Slate, you can see that they're making almost no headway, and the clanking is now nearer. What do you do?
Yeah, much more audible.
Can I see anything in this corridor yet?
Not yet, but now you're pretty sure that it's coming from one of the hollows that you think is the opening in, down to a stairwell.
Oh, that's just enforcing the idea that this is a ghost. What is there around? What can I help with?
It's like almost barren stone. There's nothing here that you could use to pry open the bars. If you were a fiendishly strong dwarf, you could maybe pull one of the bars away from one of the windows, the tiny windows, and use it for something. But other than that, there are no like features. There are no like torch sconces. There are no anything like that.
So this was designed to be a trap.
Oh yeah, it's designed to be a trap.
We just happened to walk into the one place on the flipping parapet that is designed to be a trap. Fantastic.
Well, it's the obvious way in, right? So
I actually get my belief. I will help Slate gain access to his hold.
Awesome.
Well, done. Check. Don't have to live.
How about not die doing it? I'm going to turn around and face the direction the ghost is coming and sort of place myself between it and the people that are working on the gate.
With your bare fists, or what's happening?
I have no weapons.
I suppose you could pick up Unfurth's axe since he's not using it.
Okay, well, I'll do that, because I have no weapons. I left all my weapons back with Stone Bones, remember?
Did you have any weapons, actually?
I had an axe. I had one axe. Like a little chopping axe.
That's how you know this is a dwarfy game. I had one axe.
It was a surgical axe.
Everyone else has like six.
No, I had like a throwing axe, I think I decided. But anyway, I don't have it because I left it with Stone Bones back at the camp.
All right, so you're standing there. And okay, so while they're hammering like crazy, finally some of the stone's chipping. This kind of dwarf-sized, bulky, armored figure strides up into the corridor and turns in this sort of painfully slow way toward you.
I'm going to, with one hand, take my signet ring out of my pack, put it on my finger, and go, I'm a member of this hold, and hold out the ring to it.
Because there's nothing else I can do.
It begins to clank in a mechanical, almost...
It's a wind-up.
Not at all. So in a crap, we're up on time almost. So it clanks ahead. You get the sense, now that it's close, that the only reason you think or thought it was mechanical was because the person inside the suit is incredibly stiff.
Oh, dead. Dead.
And in one of its hands is an older style, like, dwarf axe. It sort of approaches you slowly, so you could conceivably, like, back away if you wanted to. It moves close, looks at what you have in your hand. The helmet is this closed helmet with, like, a mail veil in front of it. You can see the glinting of something behind, but you can't quite make out if it's eyes or if it's something else. I think there's a grunt from inside, but you can't quite make out if it's a threatening grunt or acceptance. Huh. The other unaxed hand reaches up for you, and that's where we're going to close this session.
Cliffhanger!
All right.
Dad?
No, your dad went with you. It's grandpa?
No, great-grandpa. Or actually knowing my family, great-grandma?
Let's go to your beliefs, shall we? Let's see. Let's start with Slate, I guess. You certainly attempted to befriend Flint with your aiding him, so that's a fate point. And you're certainly attempting to restore your family's honor and place within Scoria Deep, so that's another fate point. Yay. No real accomplishments this session, but that's fine. For Fandral, something about the dealing with the Northern Dwarves.
Find out where the Northern Dwarven Company is.
I'd say you can get a fate for that because you're working toward it.
He is trying to help me find the breweries. We just haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, I'm not touching that yet since we haven't gotten there yet.
How about the Gardan crest?
Well, I think you've accomplished that. You have found out that you found out that the humans haven't shipped it off, so it's a fate point. That's as much as
found it. I can at least put fate points down for Flint.
Fate for attempting to recover the Gotterdam family crest. That's really about it, because he amended his scouting belief to scout out northern dwarves, which we haven't gotten to yet.
So I gave him a +1. He can do the math later.
And for you, I guess it's a persona for helping Slate get access to his hold.
Well, I haven't yet.
Well, you did help him. No, you didn't help him with his Weiss test?
No, I didn't.
You didn't.
And I'm busy trying to rescue him from the trap or wherever it is, which would basically means give him access to his hold in the process.
Let's give you a fate then, right? Because you're in the process of doing that. Now let's see about all the other stuff. No real trait baits this time. I'm still a little out of it, so I'm not sure if there were some great humor moments. I don't know if you had, like, a skill, a particular skill that was like, oh, because you have this skill, great.
Chronology of Kings, but...
I don't think anything hinged on you having it, precisely.
No.
Not
really.
Like, whoa, it's good that you picked up that skill, because otherwise we wouldn't have gone through this thing. No real mood breaker moments. I think I'm going to hold on to Persona for possibly next session. I'm sure we'll have interesting chances at embodiment and big speeches and so forth. So then it's really voting. Let's start with Workhorse. Background stuff, having skills to do stuff, helping others.
Well, in that case, Slate had those skills that helped, at least helped out try to read those carvings in the Hall of Heroes.
And the Holdwise stuff, who helped there? Fandral helped, and...
Did I have Holdwise? I think I may have...
Well, you're opening it up, so you didn't help in that instance, but maybe did you
use
skill, or did Slate help with that?
I am opening up Holdwise.
Yeah, but did you help Flint's Holdwise test at the very beginning of the session? What did Slate use again?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, that wasn't Slate. That was
Fandral. But I'm curious. Did anyone else help? I'm not sure anyone did. Well, then it's really up to you. You know, if you want to give it to the prince or Slate.
Well, Dirk.
I'm fine with Slate getting it.
Okay.
I was going to say I'm fine with Fandral getting it.
I'll back either one.
Well, let's give an MVP to Slate then.
I mean, Workhorse.
Oh, yes. I was thinking ahead. And I don't know. Do you feel like there was an MVP moment anywhere in this session?
If anything, Flint has kind of did the most, sort of. I mean, he discovered the most, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say Flint. Yeah.
Do we want to, like, give one MVP persona to Flint?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. sorry that Flint had to step away or Todd, but at least we got to see some interesting bits about Slate's Hold. Mm-hmm. Thank you for playing.
Thank you.
Thank you for running. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
I'm going to do the reverse shameless plug. Have you guys all had a chance to check out the Big Red Couch episode that I posted?
Yes.
No, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, you should. The Big Red Couch, they're goofy in an almost constructive way. They'll take some idea from like a spam email or user suggestion, and then they'll run with it, coming with all kinds of story ideas.
Mood gates. They change color. Invaders are forced to touch it so we know if they're good or bad.
Gates don't like you. Go away.
Send all complaints and other feedback. SundaySkypers@zoho.com. That's ZOHO.com or ZOHO.com if you prefer. Or come by the forums, SundaySkypers.freeforums.org. Or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.